just thank you in the name of Jesus that we could gather once again here, Lord, and hear thy precious word being preached and teached to us, O Lord God. And we thank you, Lord, that we have that opportunity, Lord, and that freedom. We thank you for bringing Brother Renzi here, Lord. I ask that you would grant him traveling mercies for on his way home, and he'd be there safely, Lord. Father, we'd ask you to touch dear pastor, Lord.
Yes.
A healing to his body, Lord, that he would raise him up, O Lord God. We just thank you, Lord, that you brought these folks here, Lord. May we grow in your word, Lord. May it go forth from here, O Lord God, that we may be able to tell others of the salvation of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Yes.
For all that we do here, we'll give him the honor and glory. May he be lifted up above all.
Yes.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right. Well, it's no surprise that I happened to pick a song that he mentioned already today, so we'll turn to it. It's number 54, This World Is Not My Home. Tonight, they're the same as I gave this morning. On the 12th, Brother Jeff Coat will be with us. He'll be, I'm sure, sharing a little of what the Lord's been doing over in India, as well as preaching the word to us for that day, all day. And then he and his wife will be sharing the gospel and song as well. Yes.
I have to announce that his wife, due to unseen circumstances, will not be able to be there.
So. Okay. Well, hopefully we'll still have a good time anyway. We usually do. I don't know if they have any repertoire where he sings by himself, but perhaps we can do, arrange for that too. But anyway, it'll be good to have him with us. Okay. And then the Lord has really blessed us with the giving recently. It's been a real blessing to see that. And I trust that we'll continue to do so. And the basket is in the back there if you would like to give a special love offering to our speaker, Brother Renzi. So it'll be good for that as well. Okay. Well, another favorite of many of us, it's number 81, The Unclouded Day.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take our Bibles and turn to Psalm 1. We'll do that. We just started this passage this morning for our adult Sunday school Bible memorization. Psalm 1. Eventually we'll be getting to the entire chapter, but we just started in verse 1 today. Psalm 1, verse 1. All right, here we go. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. All right, let's say it one more time. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. All right, very good. Trust that this passage will be a little bit easier to memorize. It's, I think, a little more familiar to us than Psalm 19, one that we just finished. Okay, we have one more. And when I pick this group of songs, I can't do it without singing Psalm number 93. Brethren, we have met to worship. So we'll sing that one. And if you're able to stand, why don't we do so?
Stay. familiar with the song, Must I Go and Empty Handed? One of the stanzas in that song is one of my favorite. It says, oh, the years of wasted, could I but recall them now, I would give them to my Savior, to his will I'd gladly bow. Amen. I don't know about you, but I've wasted a lot of years of my life as a Christian when I got away from the Lord. And I thank the Lord that he got me back on track. Amen. Well, if you would, if you turn your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter number 1 tonight, I'm trying to finish something we started in Sunday school this morning. I started trouble in Sunday school this morning, and I'm trying to finish it tonight. We've been talking about being holy. Amen. Because the Lord is holy. And we looked at 1 Peter this morning, chapter 1. Obedient children is what we need to be. And that is the goal. It should be the goal of every believer, is to live for the Lord. Amen. And it's a battle to live for the Lord. But you know what? If you're not battling, you're losing. Amen. So everybody has a battle. The flesh is weak. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. This morning we talked about two thoughts about being holy. We talked about seeing, if you will, the purpose of the Lord in being holy. And we looked at that. We know it's his purpose for you and I that are saved to live like we're saved and to be godly, to be holy, if you will. We also noted the prayer of the Lord this morning. You'll recall we looked at the Lord's Prayer. In fact, I was talking with Brother Bill this evening before the service, and I was saying it's amazing how we all ask the Lord to answer our prayers. Amen. And we have an opportunity to answer his prayer. He prayed for us to be protected in this world and to live for him in this world. And by answering his prayers, we can do everything we possibly can to try to do that. Amen. And so what a privilege it is. But tonight I want to talk to you about this thought, this third thought tonight. Not only do we see the purpose of the Lord in being holy and the prayer of the Lord in being holy, but tonight I want us to see the provision of the Lord when it comes to being holy. You know, the Lord has given us everything we need to live the kind of life that he wants us to live. Amen. He would never tell us to do something if he didn't provide what we needed in order to get the job done. Amen. And so I want us to look, we're going to begin in this verse here in 2 Peter chapter number 1. Would you look at verse number 3, please? 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 3 says this: according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Amen. According to, it says, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Amen. We have been given everything we need for this Christian life and for godliness. Amen. And so I want to do is just take a few moments to mention the things that I believe that God has given to us in order to help us to live the kind of lives that he wants us to live. And I'll put it this way. The first thing I want to mention is he's given us the Spirit of God. Amen. We have the Spirit of God. We could never live the Christian life without the Holy Spirit. He is the comforter, which means he's the one who comes alongside to help us. Amen. I love what Romans chapter 8 says. He helpeth our infirmities. Amen. He is the helper. Amen. The Lord told the disciples, listen, I'm going to leave, but I'm not going to leave you orphaned. I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to go and I'm going to send the promise of the Father, which is the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. Everybody who gets saved gets the Holy Spirit. We talked about it this morning in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, that know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God. Amen. And so you and I have the Holy Spirit, and through the Holy Spirit's power and through the Holy Spirit's strength, we can live the kind of life that he wants us to live. Amen. In fact, there's a wonderful Old Testament example of this, and that would be Samson. You recall Samson, right? In fact, let me just say this. How many people remember teaching or maybe learning about Samson and people using pictures of Samson, and he looked like Mr. USA? He looked like Arnold Schwarzenegger. Isn't that crazy? When you're a kid in Sunday school and you see this big Samson and you see him up there, you know, and whatever. I don't believe he looked like that. I don't believe he looked like that. You say, well, why do you not believe he looked like that? Because I believe if he looked like that, the Philistines would not say, hey, where's he get his strength from? Think about that. He had to look like an ordinary person that couldn't do the things that he did. You see, if he had all that we see, we would never wonder where he got his strength. We'd say, wow, he worked out, obviously. But I believe that he was an ordinary looking person. And when the Spirit of God came upon him, he did extraordinary things. You say, what does that mean? That means this: you and I are ordinary people. And when we get saved, we get the Holy Spirit. And when we get the Holy Spirit, we can do things we didn't do before. Amen. It's a lot easier to love people when you have the Spirit of God helping you to do that. Why? Because it's a part of his fruit. How in the world can I be temperate? How can I be meek? How can I be under control, if you will? How can I be gentle? God, see, the Spirit of God allows us to produce the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, and all these other things. Amen. The Holy Spirit of God is the key for you and I becoming more and more what God wants us to be. In fact, there's a verse in Romans chapter 8, verse number 13. It says, listen, if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. You say, what does mortify mean? It's put to death. What did Paul say? I die daily. See, through the Spirit of God, we can crucify ourselves. Amen. We can put our deed, the body, to death, if you will. My body, my flesh might want to do something wrong or say something wrong, but through the Spirit of God and through his strength and his power, we can overcome that and come over to the right side. Amen. In fact, let me just give you this thought. Ephesians 3:16, Paul the apostle prayed for the Ephesian believers. In fact, there's two prayers in the book of Ephesians. The first prayer is chapter number 1. He prays for them to be enlightened by the Spirit. You read that chapter, the core of the prayer is that the Spirit of God would open the eyes of these believers that they might see how rich they are in Christ. But then the second prayer in chapter number 3, he prays not that they would be enlightened by the Spirit, but that they would be enabled by the Spirit. And here's what he says in Ephesians chapter 3:16, that you might be strengthened with all might by his Spirit in the inner man. Amen. You and I have the Spirit of God, and we can be strengthened by the Spirit of God in order to do the things that he wants us to do. In fact, Galatians 5:16 says this: if we walk in the Spirit, what will we not do? We'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Amen. And so we have the Spirit of God. One of the biggest problems is the Spirit of God don't have us. You see, he may reside, but the problem is, does he preside over our lives? Amen. He might be present, but is he the president, amen, of our lives, if you will? And sometimes that's a problem. And that's why one of our greatest needs is Ephesians 5:18. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be what? Filled with the Holy Spirit. In fact, when you think of being filled with the Spirit, so what does that mean? It means to be controlled by the Spirit. Let the Spirit of God control your life. You see, when a person's filled with anger, we know what it means. They're controlled by anger, amen? We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. By the way, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, it's hard to be filled with anger, amen? And by the way, the only anger you're going to be filled with is righteous if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, amen? No doubt about that. And so there's a great need, if you will, for you and I to be Spirit-filled. By the Holy Spirit's strength and power, we can act appropriately and we can react appropriately, amen? It's funny, isn't it, how sometimes through life we get into a situation and we react crazy. We react in the flesh. And then we act like, well, we were walking in the Spirit up to that point. Amen? And sometimes it's not always the case. I want to show you another example. Now, listen, we mentioned about Samson being a great illustration, if you will, that by the Spirit of God, we can do something we wouldn't normally be able to do. But let me show you a New Testament example, if you will, of the Spirit of God in a life making a difference. Would you turn with me for a moment to the book of Acts chapter number 6, please? Acts chapter number 6. We have been given the Holy Spirit of God. We have the Holy Spirit of God. And through the Holy Spirit of God, we can overcome our old nature. Amen. We can overcome the old sinful nature and live the life God wants us to live. The righteous life. Amen. The holy life. The godly life. Acts chapter number 6. I want to show you an example here. And by the way, this is believed to be the beginning of deacons in the church. The church grew so much that they got too many people, and people started complaining, and the wisdom was choose out seven men and let them serve the tables, and so that the apostles didn't have to forsake prayer and the word of God. Amen. Look, if you would, please, in verse number 5. I want you to note something here. In verse number 5, I believe it is, Acts chapter 6, verse number 5, the Bible says, and the saying pleased the whole multitude. In other words, the fact that they would get seven individuals to be able to serve as deacons and so on, this pleased the church, if you will, the multitude. Now look what it says, and they chose Stephen. Here's the example I want to look at. What does it say here? He was a man full of faith and of what? The Holy Ghost, right? Stephen is a great example of the spirit-filled life, right? Right here, just from the beginning, he was a man filled with faith, a man filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Now I want you to look at Acts chapter number 7. By the way, Acts chapter number 7 is a great chapter where Stephen is preaching to the leadership of the nation of Israel, and they don't like what they're hearing. In fact, Stephen goes on to say, look, hey, listen, you're rejecting Jesus Christ. God sent him to be the Savior. You're rejecting him. And he actually says, let's do a little history here. When God sent Joseph, if you will, they rejected him. When God sent Moses, if you will, they rejected him. So he sends his son, you're rejecting him is what he's saying. And he's telling these Jewish people some things about Christ and so on, and they are mad. Now, I want you to look with me in verse number 54. Acts chapter 7, verse number 54. I want you to know what it says here. The Bible says, and when they heard these things, which Stephen was saying to them, they were cut to the heart. But God got a hold of their, God convicted their heart, if you will. They were cut to the heart, and here's what they did. They reacted wrong, by the way, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. In other words, listen, God may cut the heart of an individual by way of conviction. Some people respond by saying, what must I do to be saved? Other people respond by saying, I'm going to kill you. Amen. Now here's what they did. They responded wrong, if you will. Look at verse number 55. What's it say here in verse number 55? But what? He. Okay, so we got these people coming after Stephen for preaching the word of God while he was filled with the Spirit of God, and they're coming upon him in anger, but he, being full of the Holy Ghost, what did he do? He looked up steadfastly into heaven. And then what did he do? He saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, verse number 56, and said, behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God, verse number 57. And they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and what? Stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. By the way, Saul, who becomes Paul, is right there beholding what's going on, right? Look at verse 59. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God. What was Stephen doing while he was getting persecuted? He's calling on the Lord. He's looking to the Lord. He's calling on the Lord. Listen, I hope and pray the day that I'm persecuted for my Christianity, I look to God and plead for God to help me rather than react and respond toward the people. Amen. As I'm prone to do, right? Anybody else prone to do that? And he said, he's looking up to God. And he said, here's what he said. Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Now, verse number 60. And he kneeled down and he cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. He died. Stephen was a man full of the Holy Spirit of God. And being full of the Spirit, he was preaching the truth to people. They reacted and they responded inappropriately, persecuting him and stoning him. Yet because he was Spirit-filled, he did not react and respond inappropriately. In fact, let me tell you what a Spirit-filled man did. He said, dear Lord, please don't lay this against their account. Do you know who he resembles? He resembles the Lord Jesus Christ on that cross. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Amen. He was Spirit-filled. In fact, I didn't read it, but they said when they saw Stephen, they saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. Talk about being angelic, right? Stephen was spirit-filled, didn't respond and react inappropriately, but reacted appropriately. Now, here's what I believe may have happened because of how he reacted in that situation. I believe God used that man's life and that man's death to get a hold of Saul's heart. I don't doubt That Saul was watching what was going on and watching the reaction and watching the response. And the Spirit of God can now use that situation to deal with Saul's heart. And I think that it was beginning right there where God began to do some working on his heart that he had a hard time kicking against the pricks. Amen? The Spirit of God. Listen, we have been provided the Spirit of God that we might be the kind of people that we need to be. My goal in life is just try to stay as clean as I can. Confess my sin when I fail. I don't want sin to hinder the Spirit of God from enabling me, anointing me, and doing me with the power and strength I need to live and serve the Lord. Amen? We have the Spirit of God. Let me give you another thought. Not only has the Lord provided the Spirit of God, but listen, for us to be holy, he's provided us the Word of God. The Word of God is something that you and I have that can help us to live holy lives. Amen? Sanctify them, Father, through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. John 15:3. Now are you clean, Jesus said, through the word which I have spoken unto you. Ephesians 5:25-27. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church, gave himself for it, that he might wash it and cleanse it with the water of the word. See, the word of God, by the way, it's a spiritual bar soap. And not only is it the soap, here's the wonderful thing, it's the water. It's the soap, it's the water. And you know what? You and I, by the way, I was telling you this morning, we used to have to throw that kid in the shower, remember? You know why? He would not of his own accord lift up the soap and get in the shower and do it himself. You and I have a bar of soap, if you will. We have an opportunity to get washed and to get cleansed and to get a good shower day by day through this book. Amen? Just a little illustration for you. You can't read it, but on the front of this Bible, there's an imprint that says Holy Bible. There was one on the side too. You know, they were in those letters, the gold. It's gone. It's gone. If you look real close, you can see, but the lettering is gone. Guess where it went? It went on me. Because of you handling this book so often, that holiness of that book rubbed off on me. And I'm not telling you I'm holy, believe me. I'm not holier than thou, amen. I'm holier than I used to be, thank God. I'm saying by way of illustration, because of handling this book so much, the holiness of this book wore off on me. And that's exactly what it can do for you as well. Amen. Romans 12. We looked at it this morning. Remember, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. He says in verse number 2, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How can I be holy? How can I be clean? How can I be changed? Renew your mind by the word of God. Amen. In fact, Ephesians chapter number 4, verses 22-24 says this, put off the old man. Verse 22, 24, put on the new man. That's holiness, right? Get rid of the old man that you were. Put on the new man. By the way, the speech is like clothing. You have to get changed. You have to take off the old. You have to put on a new. There's something to do for that, right? Verse 23 is the key verse that hinges on both of these. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. How do you put off the old and put on the new? You got to get a new mind. See, a new mind is what leads to a new life. Amen? No doubt about it, right? You and I have been given. Let me just say this. This book is powerful. It's powerful. Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 12. Quick, it's alive, and it's powerful. It has the power to clean us, and it has the power to change us. Amen? Which is the essence of being holy. Amen? We have been provided. Number one, we have been given the Spirit of God. We have been given the Word of God. And by the way, it's good that we got the Spirit before we got the Word, because we could never understand the Word without the Spirit. Amen? But we've been given these things. And let me give you another thing. We've been given the house of God. We've been given the house of God. Now, what I mean by that is we've been given leadership. God has given and provided the church leadership. Amen. The preacher, the pastor. For what? I'm not going to turn there for the sake of time. Ephesians chapter 4. He gave some apostles or prophets and apostles, and that has to do with the foundation of the church. And then he gave evangelists and pastors and teachers. That's got to do with the furtherance of the church. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body. Amen? You say, what does that mean? That means this. God gave us the church that when we get together, the word of God, by the spirit of God, through the man of God, comes to our hearts and to our lives and works a work changing us more and more. Amen? By the way, how many of you are not what you used to be because you've sat here and you've heard the word of God that's made a difference in your life? Amen? By the way, this is basically throwing a shower every service. We're throwing a shower every service. Amen? And that's what it's all about. He's given the church for that very reason. Amen? You could liken it unto the potter's house where we crackpots come in and the potter gets a hold of us. And by his wonderful hands, he changes us. He molds us and he makes us for his honor and for his glory. Amen. By the way, that's what God told Jeremiah. He said, Jeremiah, these psychoceramics, these crackpots out here, Israel, you know, you're discouraged because of the way they are. But I want to tell you something. I'm the potter. They're the clay. I can do this. I can change them and make them new. Amen. And by the way, he usually works in his house. So it's a good thing to be here. Amen. The potter's house. And I'm not talking about T.D. Jakes neither. Can I get a witness on that one? Amen. Anyway, what do I want to say about that? He's given us the Spirit of God. He's given us the Word of God. He's given us the house of God. Here's another wonderful thing. He's given us the throne of God. He's given us the throne of God. You say, what does that mean? That means this. We have access to the Lord Jesus Christ 24/7. You say, what's the purpose of that? Well, the purpose of that is he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. He's able to succor them that are tempted. That word succor means aid, help, deliver. You see, he ever lives to deliver us, to rescue us. In fact, we're told in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 to 16, we have a great high priest who's touched with our feelings. We need to come boldly to him. We can find grace to help in a time of need or a nick of time. He's alive and ever living to rescue us. When I'm tempted to be ungodly, I need to cry out, God help me. And by the way, he can. The only problem is I don't find myself wanting to cry out when I'm going to be ungodly. Amen. Oh, would to God we'd be like Peter, walking on water, doing impossible things. We get our eyes off of the Lord and we focus on the circumstance. We would say, and beginning to sink. Thank God he didn't sink. What did he do when he started to sink? He cried, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and lifted him up. That's what we have. Well, I don't want to go there. I don't want to go to Psalm 121. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. Amen. We have a help who day and night, whoever lives for us. Amen. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. We have a throne. We have a very present help in time of trouble. Amen. That's what prayer is all about, isn't it? In Psalm 12, verse number 1, David in the court of Saul. Saul was whacked out, spiritually speaking, totally whacked out. David looked around and he said, Lord, the godly are ceasing. The faithful are failing. You know what David said in response? Help, Lord. That's all he said. Help, Lord. When you and I look around and see Christians dropping off left and right, you know what we need to do? We need to look to God and say, help, Lord. There goes I, but without your help. Amen. We've been given the throne of grace. Amen. We got to use it, right? We've been provided. Now I want you to turn with me to one portion of scripture and I'm going to quit. I'm going to throw in the towel tonight. Hebrews chapter number 12. It would be nice if I told you where we're going, right? Hebrews chapter number 12. We've been given the throne, right? We've been given the throne. We have an opportunity to go to the Lord anytime. Amen. Every time. I'll be honest with you. The problem is there are times I don't want to go to him. I'd rather do what I want to do, right? And that's the biggest problem. We've been given the Spirit of God as a provision for holiness. We've been given the Word of God as a provision for holiness. We've been given the house of God as a provision for holiness. We've been given the throne of God as a provision for holiness. He can keep us holy, or He can make us holy. Amen. He can keep us from falling, or He can wash us and cleanse us if we have. Amen. But I want to give you this last thought. There are people who do not take advantage of the things that we have. I was saved as a young man, which means I had the Holy Spirit. I had opportunity for have the Word of God, the house of God, the throne of God. But as a teenager, I walked away from the Lord. I had the opportunity, right, to sanctify myself. I had the opportunity to throw myself into everything that could help me to be everything God wanted me to be. But I didn't avail myself. So God had another provision. This is a provision you don't need to go for. It'll come to you. Amen. In fact, this is where God throws you in the shower. Amen. I want you to look at Hebrews chapter number 12. The context is verses 5 to 11. It's called the chastening of God. If we will not voluntarily go the route that God has provided, and we're like that, my friend, who don't like getting showers and who don't get in the water, who don't use the show, somebody's got to take them and throw them in the shower. When I was a young man, I got saved. When I was a teenager, I got away from the Lord. That's where I'm talking about, those wasted years. Wasted years. And when I got away from the Lord, I got into sin. But I'm going to tell you something. The truth of the matter is, Hebrews chapter number 12, if you're saved, you have a father, and that father will not let you go. So I think it was C.H. Burden who says, God does not let his children sin successfully. Amen. Hebrews chapter 12, I'm not going to look at the whole thing, which goes from 5 to 11. I want to look at 9 and 10 and just give you the core thought that I want to get tonight. Look at verse number 9 and 10. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us. He's talking about correction, right? Chastening. And we gave them reverence. We respected them. Shall we not much rather be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? And if God's chastening you, if God's dealing with you, respect him and submit to him. You'll live. Amen. Look at verse 10. For they, referring to our earthly fathers, for they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. But why does God chasten us? Look at this. But he for our profit. What's the next statement? That we might be partakers of what? His holiness. When I was a teenager and I got away from the Lord, I forsook, I grieved the Spirit, I quenched the Spirit of my life. I put the Bible down, I walked away from the church. I didn't go to the throne, right? I went in a way where God said, you know what? If you're not going to do this, if you're not going to throw yourself in the shower and use that soap and do the thing, I'm going to have to throw you in the shower. And the shower to me was a hospital room. Stolen motorcycle, broken back, in the hospital, looking up. The only place I could look is up and say, Lord, I know I'm saved, but I know I'm not living for you. And I know this is a part of your dealing in my life. Dear Lord, forgive me. Have mercy on me. Please allow me to walk again. I promise I'll walk the right way. 30-something years ago is when I started. Oh, I became a partaker of his holiness. I didn't want nothing to do with it until he got a hold of my life. And boy, I was at the brink of holy. By the way, the Lord knows what buttons to touch in all of our lives. Amen. It don't have to get that far, though. Man, you and I can say on our own, hey, I'm going to throw myself in that church. I'm going to throw myself in that book. I'm going to throw myself to that throne. Amen. We don't have to go the way that I went. In fact, I would encourage you, please don't go that way. Amen. Go the right way. But nonetheless, all I have needed, thy hand hath provided. And by the way, David even said it about God's chastening. His hand was heavy upon me. Amen. And so when his hand came down on me, by the way, it's like our children. When our children, you always say, you know, get upstairs and do this, that, and the other thing. And they're like this. And they're moping and dragging their feet. And all of a sudden, you get behind them and do one of these. And it's amazing, the fire and the flame. And no, I'll do it. Amen. And the truth, amen. May God help us to live holy lives for the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word tonight. Thank you for allowing us to see the provisions. Because you want us to live a certain way, we know that we could never do it in and of ourselves. We know what Jesus said. Without him, we can do nothing. We could never live the Christian life without the Spirit of God, without the Word of God. We could not do it without the church. We could not do it without the throne of God, without prayer and seeking you and coming to you. Father, I pray that every one of us would avail ourselves of everything that you've given us to live for you. May we not forsake these things and find ourselves having to be dealt with by your hand, by your chastening, which does work, Lord. I thank you for chastening me. I think of what the psalmist said. It was good for me that I was afflicted, because it was the chastening of the Lord that brought me back to the Lord. And I thank you and praise you for that. And Father, I thank and praise you for my brothers and sisters in here tonight. And I do pray that you'll help every one of us to just do what we have got to do to strive to live for you on a daily basis and live the right way. As we depart tonight, we ask your blessing over our gathering, Lord. As we dismiss, please help everyone to get safely to their destinations. And may your Spirit continue to work in our hearts the things we've heard tonight. And again, we want to pray for the preacher tonight. Thank you for allowing him to be able to make it, Lord, tonight. And I do pray that you'll please hedge him, protect him, give him grace and strength, and touch him in a very special way. Be with his dear wife as well, too. Thank you for her help, Lord, that she's been. Lord, please be with his family and be with this church. And may thy will be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
What a day we've had. What a good bunch of sermons and lessons we've gotten today. Certainly, we are challenged to serve the Lord, and I hope you all have been challenged to do that. And we need to take care of the preacher by way of the love offering on our way out here tonight, but I just want to say that he's been a real blessing preaching these things to us. And so let's determine in our hearts that we're going to serve the Lord all the days of our life. Every day that he gives us, let's serve the Lord. All right? Okay, well, everybody have a good trip home tonight. And let's determine in our hearts we're going to serve the Lord. I want to thank everybody for your prayers and cards and thoughts towards me. And just keep on praying that God would have his will and his way. I tell you, folks, I just don't know what the Lord has for us. I can't understand it, all right? But we are where we're at, and we can only be looking up to the hills from which cometh our help, okay? And so let's all keep doing that, and take our burdens to the Lord and our concerns to the Lord in prayer. Okay, have a good night. We'll see you Wednesday night, Lord willing. Bye-bye.